Well, good morning. I noticed some of you looked a little sleepy when you came in, so I thought I'd just go ahead and announce that morning has come. He's getting me wired up here. I walked into a famous place where I ate breakfast a lot the other morning, and there's a lady who works in there. And she's about, I would guess, about 60 years of age. And in fact, my son often eats breakfast there with me, and sometimes Betty does as well. And this lady, she's worked there a long time, and we know her, quite well. And just to put it mildly, she has a case of the grump. And it shows a lot. And, you know, you can walk in and say hi to her, and sometimes she won't even speak. And this particular morning, Marlon and I had sat there, and we often sit there and take care of business and stuff while we're eating a little bite. And he said, Dad, he said, I think I'm going to write that 800 number down. He said, I'm going to call the corporate office. He said, she was just an absolute bear when I ordered my stuff a while ago. I said, well, wait a minute. Let's don't do that. So, anyway, when I got up to leave, there was nobody at the counter. They'd wait on everybody, but she was standing there holding onto her cash register, just standing there. And I walked over as I was going by with my soda in my hand. I walked by, and I walked up to the other side of the, on the other side of the counter, right up close, and I looked her right in the eye, and I said, Viola, I said, it doesn't matter what they tell you. I'm telling you, whatever they tell you today, I said, you remember that I told you that the sun is coming up in the morning. And she looked at me first because she didn't know whether I was fussing at her or what, I think. And I said, girl, are you hearing me? I said, the sun is coming up in the morning. And about that time, there came the little grin, and she said, I'm hearing you. I said, good. I've been gone, well, over a week, and I don't get back home till later this week. But when I go in on Friday to get my little bite of breakfast, first thing I'm going to ask her, I'm going to say, did I tell you right? And she's going to say, what? And I'm going to say, I've been gone for 2 weeks. Has the sun been coming up every morning? So, you see, I'm working on getting her to catch the right heart and the right spirit about stuff. Yeah. Now, you come to church here all the time. Most of you do. You already caught a hold of that. You know that. That's a great truth I just gave you right there. Sun comes up every morning, amen. Yes. Reason it does, because there's a God in heaven who made it and set it in place.
That's right.
And he makes it work.
Amen.
And so I'm excited about that. I drove today from Roanoke, Virginia. Do you know that there is no way, no good way, no easy way to get from Roanoke to Garrett County? And especially since the rain didn't stop until I got within 6 miles of Oakland. The rain, the fog on the mountains, all that stuff, lots of it. But I had the day to work with, and my GPS said go that way, and I try to do whatever the bossy lady says. And I knew I was getting into the mountains, but I said, I hadn't done any of that in a while, and I'm just going to enjoy it. And I did enjoy it. In fact, when we were driving over here, Dr. Green said, he said, you know, God is just a great artist, isn't he? And he really is.
Amen.
And I've enjoyed some of that today. Brother Fox, I'm glad to see you, my friend.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You can tell, he knows that deal about the sun coming up. I mean, even though the sun's already gone down, he knows it's coming up in the morning. You can tell the way he sings, amen? Absolutely. Well, it's good to be here always. I love coming, and Brother Leatherman, thank you for your heart and vision for what we've done here all these years, and we just keep at it, keep doing it, and it's a blessing and a joy. I'm breaking in a new Bible, and it's needing a little attention here if you wonder why I'm manhandling it like that, but it's a joy to be here and to be in this conference and to see many of you that I only see maybe once a year, and others of you maybe come to the National Sword Conference and I get to see you there. And, of course, this year we have my friend Dr. Roger Green with us, his grandson Jesse as well, that he'll introduce probably later. Dr. Green is a great pastor and preacher, and you'll enjoy his ministry, and he'll be up here in just a little bit. So I want to read my text tonight and get right into it, and trust that the Lord will do some very, very good and blessed things in the days that we have together here, and look forward to all of it. I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read the last three verses of the chapter. And before I read it, I want to tell you that there is something in this reading that even though I've known the chapter, known the text and these verses for a long, long time, I have to tell you that there is something in this that I did not have sorted out. I did not have it figured out. I did not understand it until just recently. And one morning, in fact, it was the last week of June, I was reading my Bible early in the morning, which, by the way, is not a bad plan.
Amen.
So if you hadn't caught on to that, be a good idea. Just jump start your day. Get up a little bit extra early. And among the first things in the day that you do is open your Bible and just read some of it. To every preacher in this house, I will say to you, if you will do that, you won't have to waste a lot of other time hunting for sermons. You'll have all the sermons you ever need to preach if you just sit down and feed yourself regularly each morning. But I was reading it, and as so often happens, the light came on, and this passage filled out for me. And I want to share with you what I gleaned and what I gained from it. Now, let me say one other thing by way of preface here to reading the text. Anytime you have a problem like that with a text, remember this. It's not the text. It's you. If your understanding doesn't come together, and if you say, I can't figure this out, just remember it's our understanding. Because one of these days, when our understanding is full and we catch up, we'll discover every single time that the text is right. That's why often I say to people when I get ready to read the text, I say, would you open your 100% Bible? And a lot of folks have a 95% Bible, but mine's 100%. It's all right. Well, with that said, I want to read. These are the words of Jesus, Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, that last part of that in verse 30 is the part that, very frankly, I've had some difficulty figuring out. Because I've had conversations with some of you as we sit down sometimes and we talk. And we preach to one another and we read the Bible and we make emphasis upon the fact that Christians sometimes get hit hard and they carry a heavy load and they get persecuted sometimes. And some Christians even are martyred for their faith. Now, all of that sounds to me like pressure. That sounds intense. That sounds like trouble. That sounds like hurt and heartache. And so we talk about that, and we all have that, and the realities of life are that that does happen. But yet Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'm saying, well, if I serve God, it ought not to be so hard. It ought to be much easier. And so, you know, I'm digging through all of this, and it just didn't click until it clicked. And when it clicked, I said, oh, my soul, why didn't I see that before? Now, let's back up and look at it. In verse 28, I think that verse is addressed to folks that are unsaved. Verse 29, it picks up after we are saved. But in verse 28, and if you will, look up this way at me just a minute. Hear what Jesus said when he said, come to me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come this way. Come to me. Oh, I'm telling you, whenever we hear that still small voice, when we hear the wooing and the prompting and the coaching of the Holy Spirit that brings to us the voice of the Savior so that when reading the Bible or hearing a preacher preach or having a soul winner tell us the story, and when we hear the sweet, sweet voice of the Savior who died on the cross and arose from the grave, and when we hear Him say, come to me, come to me, come to me. It's precious, very precious indeed. And He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, the Jewish audience in and around Jerusalem, they were laboring like crazy to do this and do that and do something else, dot the I's, cross the T's, get everything straight so they could go to heaven. I mean, they're working themselves silly trying to earn their way to heaven. And consequently, like folks today who are doing and doing and doing and doing and trying to figure out that somehow by their doing they'll get to heaven. I mean, you ask them when they're 86 years old, have you got it all worked out? Have you got it all earned? And they'll say, well, I hope so. The fact is, we can work our fingers to the nub. We can work till we're threadbare. We can be totally exhausted. I mean, He says, we labor and are heavy laden. We are spent. But He said, if you come to me, notice the terminology, I will give you rest. So what we get when we come to Christ is a gift. Ephesians 2:8, it is the gift of God, not of works, not of our labors, not of our doing. It is God's gift to us, and when He gifts us with the atonement and justification and redemption and forgiveness and salvation, when He gifts us with all of that, oh, the rest that comes to our soul. I mean, we all at once, the heaviness of guilt and all of the burdensome pressures that we've brought upon ourselves, they're relieved simply because we come to the Savior and He gives us rest. Now, you notice in verse 29 there is the mention of a yoke. We don't see people plowing with oxen and pulling carts and wagons with oxen much in America. But in some places of the world where I've traveled, and some of you have traveled, you still see people in some of the third world countries who will be working with oxen, pulling a simple plow or sometimes a little cart. And what they do with those oxen, they take a beam, sometimes it'll be about this deep, and I'm going to guesstimate 5 to 6 feet this direction, and they'll drill a hole down through it this way, another hole down through it this way, same thing over here. Then they create a little U-bolt, a little U-shape, only it'll be this big, that'll fit up in those holes, and this little loop down here that you can fit the neck of the ox through. Now, there is a single yoke that you can use. What we got in verse 28, even though the word's not there, the yoke is not mentioned, I'm convinced it's there. I'm convinced it's there. Maybe single yoke, maybe double yoke. Most commonly, when you see oxen pulling with being in a yoke, it is a double yoke. And in verse 28, that yoke is there because He said they are laboring and they're heavy laden. In verse 28, before we ever come to the Savior, we've hooked up with something. I mean, we're trying to pull this thing ourselves, and the yoke is there, even though it's not. It's like a unmentioned yoke, but it is there. And so here we are, we come to Christ, and finally the remedy is in place. And I mean, our souls are, I mean, we are refreshed, and the very first words out of the mouth of the Savior in verse 29, when He gets us in verse 28, the very first thing that He says is, take my yoke upon you. And right about that time, we're saying, do you not understand? I wore myself out with a yoke around my neck, and now that I've become a Christian, you're telling me you want me to put my neck back in a yoke? And He says, yes. Right about this time, you and I need to understand that what's happening is, in verse 28, we were either doing it all ourselves, or we were hooked up with somebody who is about same strength as we are. I mean, two of us, you know, I might pull an ounce more, he might pull an ounce more, but two of us would be about the same if we're yoked up and pulling together. But in verse 29, when we get in the yoke with Christ, we're getting in the yoke with the Almighty. And herein lies all the difference on everything. We get in the yoke with Christ, and then he says next, and learn of me. Learn of me. We say, but we were breaking our backs in verse 28 trying to do this thing. And now that you want us to yoke up, and he's just saying, put your neck in. You're going to learn some things. I'm going to teach you some things. Right here, you ought to write in the margin where it says, learn of me. You ought to call that Yoke University. We're going to get you degreed here in a way that you've never been certified before. Learn of me. You know, I'm trying so hard to do it myself in verse 28. And the Savior said, come to me, I'll do it for you. I will give you rest if you come to me. So I put my neck in the yoke with Christ. I begin to learn what he can do, how he can help me, what he can do for me. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Right about the time that you and I start to figure things out, we begin to understand that we're not much. It's just little old us, and we're just one little tiny human being. And instead of thinking that we're something big and that the world centers around us, all at once we get to knowing, hey, it's just us, and we're not much. And then we say, the Savior says, come to me. The God of the universe is wanting to have fellowship with me, and he's wanting me to be in connection with him. And what he says, I'm meek and lowly of heart. He's saying, I loved you. I had you in mind. Sure, I'm the king of the universe and I'm sitting on heaven's throne. But he said, I came down. I went to the cross with you in mind. Understand, I did this so that you could have the rest that he gives in verse 28 and the rest that you're going to discover in verse 29. Notice that verse 29, he says, here he's not giving you the rest. You're going to discover the rest in verse 29. He says, you get in the yoke with me, learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You're going to discover things, Brother Fox, that you never dreamed could be possible. You're going to wake up 5 days into salvation, 5 months into salvation, 5 years into salvation, and you're going to say, I can't believe what's going on in my life. I never knew it could be so sweet, so precious, so good. I never knew that life could be so blessed. What you discover, being in the yoke with the Savior, is going to be something really, really special. When I was a boy growing up down in western Kentucky, my grandfather had a little farm in Carlisle County, and he had tractors and stuff, but he had a team of mules. Those mules were half brothers. One was named Jim, and the other one was named Dick. Jim was the kind of a mule, a horse that, I mean, he never stood still. He woke up with energy. I mean, you just couldn't hold him still. You put him in the harness and he's standing there just raring to go. His brother Dick was exactly the opposite. He was the most trifling, worthless piece of horse flesh that anybody ever saw. I've seen my granddad hook them up as a team. And you know, when you put a team like that together, and they're to a wagon or plows or whatever, you know, he says, giddy up, they're supposed to move together like this. But with Jim and Dick, I mean, when my granddad flicked the lines or said, giddy up, Jim would lunge forward, and Dick is still looking around back here to see what all's going on, and sometimes Jim would be lurching forward and actually dragging his brother, and so it would always be like this. Because he dragged behind. He didn't have the picture. He didn't want to do whatever was going on. But that other mule, I mean, he didn't care whether his brother pulled or not. He was going to get it done. Sometimes you and I get ourselves yoked up in all kinds of crazy situations. And sometimes we're the one doing the dragging, and sometimes we're being dragged. But the fact of the matter is, when you and I get yoked up with the Savior, the one who is the Almighty and who provides power and strength for us, He enables us for every single thing that He has in mind for us to go. Every stop, every place along the way, every job that He wants done, every command that He gives us, we're in the yoke with Him. We can do it because we're in the yoke with Him. That's why He says, my yoke is easy. I guess so. He's pulling the main part of the load. My burden is light. It's no big deal because we're in the yoke with Him. Now, there's some application to be made. That's my introduction. Some application to be made from this. If I get in the yoke with the Savior, let me illustrate it like this. A few minutes ago, Dr. Green and his grandson, Jesse, and I got in the car together. Now, to drive from the hotel over here. You know how easy it is to have conversation when we're in the car together? Because we're all in the same car. Now, they've got a car over there. Let's suppose they had gotten their car. No cell phones, nothing like that. But they're in their car, and I'm in my car, and we're driving over here, and I have a thought, and I want to tell them something. Well, I'm not going to be able to tell them real well because they're in another car, and unless we roll the windows down and yell at one another as we're driving down the road and people think we're crazy if we do that. But because we're in the car together, it's easy to communicate. The fellowship is doable. When you get in the yoke with Christ, you got your neck in it. By the way, this yoke in verse 29, you can take it on. And you can take it off. Some bird sitting here we're down here at Wendy's or someplace getting a burger or a salad or something or other, and some bird sitting at a table right behind me, and he's swearing and he's saying vulgar things, and sometimes I'm sitting there and my ears hear it and I just try to shut myself out. Hey, if I got my wife along and the guy's doing that, I'll tell you what I've done. Only a number of times I've turned around and I've said, sir, do you mind? My wife is here. Now, when we're in the yoke with the Savior and we're going along and somebody says, hey, did you hear the latest dirty deal of some kind? The latest really syrupy, juicy kind of ugly thing. I mean, they got some awful story to tell. And when you and I are in the yoke with the Savior, I'm telling you, there's a whole lot less likelihood that we're going to lend our ears and we're going to turn around and repeat that to somebody because we're yoked up side by side with Him. Now, if we take the yoke off and we back off over here somewhere and we're not working and being in close contact with Him, say, well, I did tell one of those dirty things. Yeah, but I bet it wasn't on a day when you were real hooked up close with the Savior. That yoke, you can take it off. But if you did take it off, it's good that you put it back on and put it back on and put it back on and put it back on. See, what happens when we get yoked up with Christ? It'll get you baptized, for one thing. It'll get you baptized. You won't wait 25 years to do it. You get yoked up with Christ, and you won't be coming to me or to the pastor and saying, well, you know, I'm considering that, and I'm praying about that. No, you're not going to do that. If you get yoked up with Christ, you're going to be close enough to Him. You're going to know what He says. And not only that, but you're going to say, hey, I'm yoked up with Him. And if He says do it, I'm going to do it. Getting yoked will get you baptized. getting you yoked, it'll get you in church. So, but my favorite football team is playing on Wednesday night or Sunday night or whenever football plays. I don't watch football, so I don't know. I preach against football. But anyway. Now, no. In the yoke with Christ, you're not going to sit home on Sunday night, Super Bowl Sunday. You say, now, wait a minute. That's not the greatest sin in all the world. I didn't say it was the greatest sin in all the world. I'm just telling you, though, if you're yoked up, you'll turn the tube off and there won't be any debate in your heart. You'll just say, hey, I'll watch the replays when I get home. You get yoked up. You get yoked up, you'll tithe when the plate comes by. The reason you'll do it is because it's in the book. And walking close to the Savior, you won't walk close to Christ and not know about baptism, not know about going to church, not know about tithing, not knowing about studying your Bible, not knowing about praying, not knowing about living right, etc. You will know that because you're in the yoke and you're close to the Savior in the process. I think you'll go soul winning when you get yoked up. Let me give you one more little run here. Yoking up with Christ, number one, I think will get you up and running. Go back to my mule illustration. You may be like that lazy mule. And you may say, I don't know. I'm telling you, I watched my granddad work those mules a lot of times. And he would get Dick in the harness, whether he liked it or not. He got dragged down the road. He got dragged to the field. He got there because he was harnessed up, yoked up. The fact is, when you and I get yoked up with Christ, it'll get us up and get us running daily. That's what I was trying to tell Viola when I said, the sun's coming up in the morning. I said, what's the matter? Don't you ever have any burdens? One or two. I said, don't you ever have any heartache? Oh. Week I've just been through. Heartbreaking. Losing a dear friend. Heartbreaking. Now, I'm telling you, yoking up with Christ will get you up and get you running daily. Yoking up with Christ, it'll keep you on course. You say, somebody in the church, they were ugly to me. So? Well, they should not ought to have done that. You're probably right. They shouldn't have. But they did. Now the question is, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? Somebody else does wrong. Does that mean, hey, I'll show them? No. I tell you, the delightful thing is to just stay steady and stay solid whenever you have been hit upside the head with something unfair. That's where it really is. And I'm telling you, when you're yoked up with Christ, you get up some morning, you don't feel like getting up and going anywhere, but you get in the yoke with Him, He'll get you up, He'll get you going, and He'll keep you on course. You'll stay on track when you're yoked up with the Savior. I'm telling you, the crowd I run with makes a difference, Brother Letterman. It makes a difference. I get around some folks, I don't dare ask them, how are you? 30 minutes later, I mean, I've seen their scars and everything. Some folks, they're like Miss Bola that I was telling you about, they got the grumps. And maybe they got a reason to have the grumps, but I'm just saying, yoke up with Christ, it'll get you on course, it'll keep you on course, and it'll stifle those old carnal spirits that linger around. It'll stifle them. I don't, I'm not going to try to speak for you, but I'm just guessing that you're not too much different from me. And you know, oftentimes it's the people who are closest to me that if I misspeak or if I say an unkind word, it's often the people that are closest to me that will get the brunt of it. Oftentimes it's the people you love the most. And you say, well, you think everybody ought to be nice? The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. That's as much in the Bible as all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Now, you say, well, are you kind all the time? Don't ask questions. You don't need them. The answer to that is, we all have carnalities that surface once in a while. The question is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to handle it? Are we going to admit it, or are we going to bow up our back and act like it doesn't happen? The fact is, then your family thinks that you misspoke. You did misspeak. Doesn't take but one vote to settle that. So how do I stifle those things? How do I get myself on track? Get in the yoke with Christ.
Amen.
See, when I'm in the yoke with Him, I'm close enough to Him. I can learn of Him. He can teach me all along the way. I travel a lot, as you know. Most of you know. Sometimes guys pick me up at the airport. As soon as we get in the car, question number one, question number two, question number three, question number 468, by the time we get 2 hours down the road, wherever it is we're going. And I've been on the other end of that with somebody that I wanted to ask 468 questions to. And whenever you're in a car like that, like we were a while ago, and if you take a long trip, you can learn a lot of stuff just asking and answering questions. And when you get yoked up with Christ, you'll start figuring stuff out because, hey, He knows everything. So He'll start being professor, He'll start being tutor, He'll start teaching and helping us all along the way, and that old carnal spirit, we'll identify it, begin to push it away. You yoke up with Christ, it'll enable you when you're weak and vulnerable and discouraged. Everybody gets there once in a while. But it'll enable you because you're in the yoke with Him who is powerful. Whenever you're yoked up with Christ, it'll give you grace and grit when there is no glory. It'll give you grace and grit when there is no glory. Well, I worked in the nursery, Pastor, for 16 years. I don't remember anybody patting me on the back like I wanted to be patted on the back. No notoriety. Nobody saying, what a good job he or she did. Singing in the choir, working in the nursery, running the bus route, going soul winning, doing all those things. I just served and I worked and nobody brought me up and gave me a certificate or anything. I'm telling you, when there is no glory, there's no acknowledgement, there's no commendation, there's no attaboys. The Lord, if you're in the yoke with Him, He will give you grace and grit to continue to be who you ought to be, even if nobody says you're doing a good job. Getting yoked up with Christ will assure that front burner issues get your attention. Front burner issues. You know, there's stuff that ought to be on the front burner on the stove. And I mean the gizmo that you turn to dial the heat. I mean, some stuff, it ought to be set so that we got it rising to a full boil all the time. And when we're yoked up with Christ, front burner issues won't be sitting over on the back simmering. They'll be right up there on the hot burner like they ought to be. And when you and I get yoked up with Christ, it'll carry us faithful to the finish. Faithful to the finish. You read the sword, you'll see some of those giants of a generation or two ago We have them on every issue. And we do it on purpose. We want you to know that there's some people who got it right, did it right, and stayed true till they croaked. You and I need to yoke up with Christ, and that'll enable us to stay at it till the finish. I didn't have this figured out until that light came on that morning when I was reading my Bible. And I'm going to tell you, the morning that that clicked with me, I mean, I've been turning back to it and just reading it for fun. It's so good. And it's helped me so much. Oh, to hear my Savior say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May the Lord bless you. Father, thank you for your goodness and for all that you give us every time we open the book. For precious passages like this, I pray that you'll make it real to us tonight. And let it help us when we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're burdened, or maybe whenever we're trying to pull things the wrong way, help us to get in the right yoke. Dear Lord, bless Brother Green as he comes to preach in a few minutes, and the others who will sing. Give us, I pray, your very best these days, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. We ask you for what we need. And give it, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.